Book Scavenger, Chapter 8. Emily wanted to look up the gold bug on the Book Scavenger website, and because there were almost always someone on the Crane's computer and James had his own, they left Matthew at the front porch and went up to James' apartment. With every step up James' staircase, the smells of spice and roasting meat grew stronger. It had been a long time since Emily had been in a friend's house. She thought of James' grandmother and her scolding tone, and she started to feel anxious that she should do or say the wrong thing. She followed James' lead when they reached his entry landing, sliding off her shoes like him and adding them to the row that lined the wall. Voices speaking Chinese came from the front room, and when Emily peered in, she saw that they were from a flat-screen TV perched in a cabinet. An elderly Chinese woman, dwarfed by the floral armchair she sat in, was fixated on the screen. Every so often, she'd flap her hands and say something too quiet for Emily to hear over the TV noise, like she was carrying on a one-sided conversation. "Hi, Taipo!" James crossed the room and gave the woman a sideways hug. "My great-grandmother," he explained to Emily. "She lives over on Pacific with my auntie, but Saturday she usually comes here because my cousins have weekend tournaments and stuff. You know how that is." James tossed those sentences out so casually, totally unaware of how such simple statements could make Emily's head spin. First of all, what tournaments? She assumed he meant some kind of sport or maybe chess, but no, she didn't know how those could be. Moving so often, organizing sports and school clubs weren't really something she did. Her free time activities were sightseeing with her parents, reading, puzzles, and book scavenger. And then there were all the people James mentioned in one sentence. A great-grandmother, auntie, cousins, all right here, Nerby? Like he saw them all the time? Emily saw her grandmother, who lived in Vermont, maybe once a year, and the rest of her grandparents had passed away. She had an uncle who was in Europe. At least she thought that was where he was. He and her dad weren't super close. And her mom had a sister she talked often with on the phone, but it had been years since they saw her. There was a clatter from the kitchen at the other end of the apartment. Emily turned to look down the hall and saw another woman pop her head out of the doorway. "You're back," she said. "Hey, Mom." James walked down the hallway to hand over the two bags he'd brought back from farmer's market. "Did you guys eat? The kitchen's a disaster zone, so don't come too close, but I can get you something. We're in the middle of prep work for that anniversary dinner we're catering tonight." Jane's mom had a long, glossy black hair and wore hoop earrings that rocked like swings when she talked. "We're good," James said, looking to Emily for affirmation. "Emily's going to show me the Book Scavenger website." "Oh, Emily, I haven't even introduced myself." "I'm so sorry. I'm James' mom." "I shook a hand, but..." She waved her floor-coated hands. "How are you liking in San Francisco?" "It's nice." She had to raise her voice to be heard over the roar of a stove vent that had been switched on in the kitchen. Something sputtered as it dropped in hot oil. From inside the kitchen, they heard James' grandmother shout something over the oil and fan. James' mom held her palms up and shrugged, like she was saying, "What can you do?" and ducked back into the kitchen. It was a little overwhelming how different James' apartment felt from Emily's, which was nearly identical in layout but nothing else. The Cranes' rentals were always furnished with the basics, and that was it, stark and bland. James' apartment was layered with objects and smells and noises. There were rugs and couches and decorative pillows, tables with fabric draped over them, and then frames and trinkets on the top of the fabric. Real plants that you had to take care of. The walls were painted colors, not rental white, and covered with art, photographs, and collection of paper fans. Some things looked brand new, like the flat-screen TV, and some things looked like they belonged in a museum. James had said his family had been living in this building for generations, and you could feel it. James' room was no different from the rest of the house, filled to the brim. blue walls covered with superhero and comic book posters, a solar system slowly revolved from the ceiling, a stuffed boa constrictor stretched across the foot of his bed, multiple bookshelves with not just books, but collections, neat and orderly Lego models, toy monsters, a tower of board games, and sand dollars. Emily and Matthew were limited to one suitcase of non-essentials and one suitcase of books. Emily couldn't even calculate how many suitcases it would take for all of James' things. James pushed back a curtain and concealing a closet filled with desks and computers. "You've got to be kidding me," Emily said. "I never kid about computers." James patted each one like obedient puppies. "One computer for schoolwork and regular stuff, one for video games, and the third one, I built this one."
"You built a computer?"
"It's not really a big deal," James said with a shrug.
"So how do we see if that gold bug book is part of the book scavenger game?"
They went to the book scavenger website and Emily clicked on Embarcadero BART station. There were no listed under hidden. She did a search for the gold bug, but nothing turned up in the results. Maybe someone, but he really did throw it away and missed the trash can.
"Who would throw this away?" Emily asked.
The book was entirely too special looking. A hardback bound in linen cloth the color of a pomegranate, a gold beetle embossed on the front with flecks that sparkled when you tilted the book. It opened stiffly, as if she was the first to do so. Nobody would dump a book like this. Emily flipped to the copyright page. The only thing on it was a small drawing of a blackbird in front of a bridge, and ocean waves, and a short string of numbers. The drawing gave her an itchy brain feeling, like she dreamed about finding this book or had seen the symbol before. Maybe someone hid it so recently he or she hadn't time to register it online, or maybe he or she even forgot. She clicked on the form and posted a message. She typed, "I found a copy of The Gold Bug by Edgar Allan Poe in San Francisco BART station. Did anyone hide it and forget to register it? Please, pretty please, say yes, because I need the points." She really didn't need the points, but she was only 15 points away from advancing from Miss Marple level to Auguste Dupin, and she'd been counting on getting those 2 points by finding the Tom Sawyer book today. After posting her message to the forum, Emily gave James a tour of Book Scavenger site, updating her profile information so it listed San Francisco as her city and Booker Middle School for school/work.
"What about that card you found?" James said. "At the ferry building. What did you call that guy?
Poacher? Can we find anything about him?" Emily pulled the card from her backpack and typed Babbage into the user. She clicked on the profile and was surprised to see that Babbage ranks Sherlock Holmes level, the highest possible level.
"That rat! He didn't even need those points! Selfish poacher," Emily muttered.
"Points don't matter when you're already at the top level?" James asked. "Well, you can still use them at Book Scavenger and Bayside Press stores. And some people are just competitive and want to see how high they can get their point total." It would take her a long time to get to Sherlock Holmes level, but once Emily did, she'd probably be one of those competitive people.
"Has Babbage declared any books?" James asked.
"Maybe we could beat him to one of the books he's hunting." Emily clicked on Babbage's profile to look at his hidden books, but was stopped by another discovery.
"Booker Middle School," James read. "He goes to our school?" Or she.
Knowing Babbage was a middle schooler just like them made her all the more irritated that he or she had poached Tom Sawyer. "Can't we see their picture?"
"There isn't one uploaded." Babbage used a generic avatar just like Emily.
She scanned Babbage's book listings. The user hadn't declared any titles, but he or she had hidden several recently. When you hit a book and upload the clue, you selected a detective category to give other users an idea of how tricky it might be to find your hidden book. Babbage had rated all his or her clues at Sherlock level, so they're almost definitely beyond Emily's cipher-cracking capabilities. The computer dinged and an instant message box popped up. Raven.
Can I be of service?
Who asks if they can be of service? James said. Is Raven a butler or something?
Emily shrugged. Beats me. Shirley Wombat.
Service with what?
Raven, you inquired about the gold bug.
Oh, Emily straightened. That was fast. Raven knows about the book? See, I knew it was a book scavenger book.
Shirley Wombat.
Did you hide it in the BART station?
Raven, I could not reveal the locations.
The location's been revealed, you weirdo, Emily said. How else would I know about it?
Shirley Wombat.
I already know the location. I found a gold bug in the BART station. I'm trying to get credit for it.
Raven. The gold bug is a short story by Edgar Allan Poe, originally published in 1943. Poe won a short story contest and the prize was publication in a local paper. It was a popular story in its day and brought attention to cryptograms and secret writing.
What's with the history lesson? James asked. Emily sighed. I don't think Raven actually hid this book. She's probably one of those know-it-alls who likes to flaunt every fact in their head.
Yippee for you! You know a lot about Edgar Allan Poe!
Emily closed the instant message box with a sharp click of the mouse.
Let's see if there's anything new about Mr. Griswold's in the hospital.
In the forums, there weren't any news updated, but Emily did see a thread under the Garrison Griswold category titled, What If? A user from South Carolina had posted, Don't want to be a downer, but I just had a sad thought. What happens to book scavenger if Mr. G doesn't make it?
Emily breathed in sharply. She hadn't been worried about Mr. Griswold and what it meant like he was in critical care, but it never crossed her mind that something happened to him could mean something happening to book scavenger too. She skimmed the posted reactions, finding an assortment of replies. Most people were positive about the future of both Mr. Griswold and book scavenger, but one user's reply might as well have been bold-faced the way it jumped out. A friend of a friend works at Bayside Press, and let's just say it's been love, and not dollars, keeping book scavenger up and running. And that was before all this went down with Big G. I wanted to be bright and cheery about what the future holds, but I'm thinking we should get our book hunting kicks in now while we still can. Hope I'm wrong.
A world without book scavenger? 6 years ago, she didn't know any different, but now it was such a huge part of her life. Without book scavenger, Emily wouldn't be able to follow a book's journey, see who found it and where it traveled to next, read the adventure logs the other sleuths posted, trade reviews after they read the book. Reading would be lonely without book scavenger. Moving again would be unbearable without book scavenger.
Well, it looks like nothing's changed with Mr. Griswold, James said, breaking up her thoughts.
We talked about making up a secret language. Want to do that now?
Emily blinked at James a few times, like she couldn't quite get her eyes to focus.
Right, she finally said. Looks like nothing's changed.
Emily glanced at the forum message once more before closing the browser window.